you wash in the blood. We're going to see in a minute that that's a desperate need. Back in Genesis, book of Genesis, that song, like this book, has been discarded today by modern 21st century religion, old and out of date. Most believe that Genesis is some kind of Jewish fable. They really do. Most believe that this book has no relevance today. Even mainstream religion really doesn't believe it. Their preaching tells me that. But true believers, what is a true believer? A true believer is one who believes God. Not in God. Didn't say that. James wrote, the devil believes. You believe there's one God? The devil believes and trembles. Not to believe in God. Believe God. What does that mean? God wrote a book. In the beginning, God. God wrote a book. To believe God, believe the record. All of it. From Genesis to Revelation. And it's concerning God's Son. So it's still relevant. As a matter of fact, if you miss what happened in the beginning, you'll miss the rest of it. If you don't know what happened in the beginning, if we don't know what happened in the beginning, we don't know what happened in the middle or what will happen in the end. Genesis means beginning. In the beginning. Can you read a book? Can you pick up a book and start in the 40th chapter? 39 Old Testament book. Can you start chapter 40 in a book and understand it? The introduction is vital. It's the reason, you know, I try to get your attention right at the outset. It's not like the introduction is vital. Genesis is the introduction. Genesis begins everything. Everything about God, about man, about religion, about how God deals with man, about how God saves man. And it starts right there, and it never differs. It stays the same from there on. The way God started this thing is the way He'll finish it. Genesis. Believers believe and clearly see that this big ball that we're standing on is spinning. This ball is spinning. I don't feel it. How's that? This ball is spinning, but we don't feel it. How many miles per hour is it spinning around the sun? And we don't feel it. That's amazing. Believers believe and clearly see that God created the heavens and the earth. God, I mean an all-wise, powerful, magnificent, superior, infinitely high being, created all of this. Believers believe and clearly see how that God created man, His crowning creative glory. God created man in the image of God. No other animal on the earth. You can talk about monkeys all you want to. Look in their eyes, you can see they don't have a clue. They're monkeys. Man, now man is marvelous. But believers believe and clearly see how that man, though created in the image of God, fell terribly. Terribly fell. Died in sin. Just like it said over in Genesis 3. Just like it said. They clearly see that man died and is dying. Not only did he die or that he's lost spiritual understanding, life, but he's slowly just getting worse and worse and just dying until he's going to decay away. Believers believe and clearly see that. They got their eyes open. They clearly see it. They see themselves. Believers believe and clearly see that there's God ordained one way. That man, since man is such a dead, helpless creature, not a high and lofty being anymore. No, he's a dead. He started upright and he's now down on all fours. And believers believe and clearly see how that there's one way, one hope, and that's for God to do something for them. That there's one way to get to God. They can't get to God. They're not even interested in God. But it's only for God to be interested in them. It's for God to come to them. It's for God to do something for them. It's for God to save them. Believers believe and clearly see that there's one way that a sinful creature, mankind, that God Almighty can have this holy, holy, holy one we sung about. Do you understand what you sing? If there's anything more clear in Scriptures than that, I don't know of it. Holy, holy, holy. What's that mean? It means God's too holy to look upon sinful, this mass of humanity. How can he do it then? Blood, blood, blood. Are you washed in blood? Old, ignorant, mountain, traditional hymn. One way, and it started right here. It started right here. God started it. Where was blood first shed? Where was blood first shed? Who shed it? Who shed the first blood? Who killed? Who did the first killing? Who did it? Who shed the blood? You say, well, right here, Cain. God did it. Look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 21. You have it? Oh, this is important. Vital. It says, unto Adam also. Now, you remember how the man and the woman rebelled against God. They didn't innocently, ignorantly eat an apple, and how hard of God to... Oh, they rebelled against God. Satan said, you'll be like God. You have a free will. Who does God think he is to restrict something from you? Well, he knows you'll be like God. You want to be like God, don't you? Yeah, we do. This is unfair for him to give us infinite things and withhold one. It's unfair. I've got to have it. Let me have that. Who does God think he is? God said, die. And he should have snuffed them out. He should have snuffed them out. The angels saw this. The angels did this. The angels which kept not their first estate, Scripture says, in Jude, which also speaks of Cain. The angels rebelled against God. Satan and a multitude of his followers rebelled against God, and God said, get out of my presence. And he put them in chains in hell, reserved. Everlasting chains of darkness, the Scripture. No hope, no mercy, till finally someday you're going to snuff them out completely. That's not a fairy tale, that sucks. Well, the angels who were still with God, they saw this man and this woman do this. What do you think? Darnell, what do you think was running through their minds? Here this little creature shook their fist in God's face and said, "Ah, who does God think he is? We'll be like God." That's what Satan did. What do you think was running through their mind? And God's gonna snuff them out. He's going to put them where those angels, Satan is. Surely. I know. They saw the voice walking. God came walking. God went down and talked to him. Stood there and talked to the man and the woman. And they heard him say something like about a woman's seed coming. "I'll bruise your head," talking to Satan. "You're going to bruise his heel now." What's going on here, they thought. Mercy. They've never seen mercy before. Mercy's not getting what you deserve. The angels didn't get mercy. They got justice. What is he doing? Why isn't he killing mercy? God's merciful. He's going to show all of his character. Then he started talking about this woman's seed is going to come. What's this? What's he doing? He's telling the good news. The gospel of grace. Grace? What's grace? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Giving you something you don't deserve. What's grace? It's what he's going to do for them. He's going to save them. And then they saw this. Now, I thought about this the other day. If the Society for the Prevention of the Cruelty of Animals wouldn't throw me in jail, it might be a good thing for us to see this happen. God, Jesus Christ, was a man. I mean, in a human form here, I believe that. He, Christ himself, went over, and there was a newborn lamb. A little lamb. Have you ever seen a lamb? A baby lamb? Have you ever, anybody here ever seen one, held one? It's about the sweetest creature on earth. It is the sweetest. The face, the eyes, it's just soft. It's like velvet, every part of it. Totally innocent. Help wouldn't hurt a flea. God went over. And here's this man, this woman standing there. God went over and got one of those, grabbed that little 1 year old or less than that little lamb. And slit its throat. Adam and Eve were sitting there watching in horror. Doing. The angels. God killed something. Poured that blood out. Skin it. And took that skin over where that man and woman was. Wrapped it around. That's awful, isn't it? Oh, that's mercy. Glory in it. No glory. How awful. Oh, how gracious. Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand what he did? God did it. They tried to cover themselves. Man and the woman, they got them some
They went over a tree.
Got leaves. You know, the minute you pick something, it's dead, isn't it? The minute you pick a leaf, green leaf, it's just, I just cut hay the other day. Henry, 2 days later, it's dead, dry, just a lot less than it was when you cut it. As soon as they picked those leaves, they started withering, and they wore them. No telling how long they wore them. A good day or two, till finally they were wearing little brown, crumpled up leaves. We're covered. Oh, how ignorant can you be? You got to have skin. You got to be covered all over. You're naked. What is that? What's that all about? You understand? This is fundamental religion. This is fundamental to the faith. God shed blood and then took a skin and covered that man. Do you understand? What's that talking about? And then from there on, for 4,000 years, billions and trillions of lambs were killed. Lamb of the first year, firstling of the flock, firstborn, a male, the first year, without spot, the best lamb of the bunch, without blemish, perfect, beautiful, harmless, sweet, kind, millions of them. Flip their throat. What's it talking about? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Until one day, John, he walked this planet. Same voice, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. 4,000 years later, and was walking along Galilee one time, and John the Baptist, a preacher, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." God's going to cut his throat. Please the Lord to bring you. God's going to shed his blood and skin him and cover us in it. Behold the Lamb of God. That's what this is about. It hadn't changed. Salvation hadn't changed. Every naked sinner is clothed the same way. A lamb. Skin of a lamb. Uh-huh. We're wearing wool. 100% virgin wool. The righteousness of Christ. Who needs notes when you got a Bible? Huh? Well, look at the story here. In the book of Genesis, chapter 4, look at it. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Now, she heard God say, "Your seed, woman's seed, is going to come." And she had a son named Cain. Now, people, don't think for a minute that Cain and Abel were all the sons that Adam and Eve had, or the first ones. Don't think that for a minute. Cain, a little while later, married somebody. Where'd she come from? That's what a lot of people are concerned about, aren't they? That's the deep questions that men are asking now, Stan. Where'd Cain get his wife? He married his sister, dummy. He married his sister. Adam and Eve had, you know, the estimates had it that they had as many as 30,000 children. Lived 930 years. She was fruitful. A woman, boy, a woman was a woman back then, buddy. Like Molly, she can throw them out. Have one every year and not complain and get up the next day. Hit the road. Now, 30,000. What about them? They're multiplying, too. They're multiplying. Sons, grandsons, granddaughters, great-granddaughters. There were 30,000 people. But now God wrote this down. Cain and Abel. Adam had sexual relations with his wife. And she bore a son named Cain. This wasn't the first child she had. Maybe the first son. But God recorded this because this is a picture of the two religions on earth. This is the beginning, see? If all the things that were done, all the people and all that were written in the book, the world couldn't contain the books, you see. But God recorded this because this is most important. This is absolutely vital. There are two boys here, and these two boys represent all religion. All religion. You're going to find all religion, always have and always will find all religion under one of these two boys. Cain's way or Abel's way. All right, verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Where did he get sheep? Where does sheep come from? Let me ask a real deep question, philosophical question, that I believe Anna right there could answer. Which come first, chicken or the egg? Huh? Sarah, which come first, the chicken or the egg? What did God create first, a chicken or an egg? Huh? Come on. A chicken! Which comes first? A sheep or a lamb? Where did the sheep come from? He was a keeper of sheep. He had sheep. When he was born, there were sheep. When he got old enough to keep sheep, there were sheep. Where did he get them? God gave them. He didn't grow them. God made them. All right? You see that? Sheep come from God. The chicken comes first. And eggs come from chicken. Well, God created sheep. Abel did not grow sheep. But now, Cain, it says, was a tiller of the ground. Verse 2. Cain was a tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. There's nothing wrong with being a farmer. If I wasn't a preacher, that's what I'd be. Really, I love farming. I think it's that's what Adam was. God first created man, then made him a farmer. He was out of the dirt, and he was in the dirt. Well, Cain was a tiller of the ground. He worked the ground. That's good, honest labor. Yes, it is. And what does God say about the ground, though? Look back at chapter 3. Now, after Adam and Eve sin against God. Look at what God said in verse 14. Verse 17. Adam said, "Because thou hast God said unto Adam, because you've hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow, you're going to eat from the ground. Ground's not going to give you any peace. Ground, anything comes from it, is not going to give you any peace but sorrow. You're from it, and you're going back to it," he said. Verse 19, "Dust you are, in the sweat of your face you'll eat bread till you return to the ground." The ground's going to be a curse to you. Everything that comes from it is going to be sorrow. You come from it, going back to it. You'll grovel in it, and you'll find a grave in it. The ground. Flesh and blood is dust, dirt, dirt. Don't find any hope and happiness in it. I heard this. Ground is a curse. Curse. And God told Adam. Now, Adam lived 930 years. You think a man learned something in 930 years? Man ought to learn something, shouldn't he? He gets 40 years up. He ought to learn something. Looks like it. It looks like it. But 50, 60, 70, 930 years, you're going to learn something? God told him about a seed in the garden, a woman's seed. God told him to skin that animal, covered him with, shed the blood. God said the ground's cursed. Adam, 930 years. Lord, he could commune with God, yes. What's this mean? What's that mean? 930 years, God taught him. He learned something. If he learned anything, he learned this. You can't bring anything from the ground. Can't bring anything that we do. You see, when a farmer goes out and he plants a seed, he goes, buys a seed, he plants a seed, he tills it up, then plows it up, prepares the ground,
puts in the seed, covers it up, fertilizes it, waters it. Can't give you increase, okay? But he did it all, didn't he?
He did it all. And if it grows up, that farmer, just about to a man, will say, look at my cornfield. Look at my turnip patch. Cain was a turnip farmer. I know that for a fact. I'll tell you why in a minute. Cain was a turnip farmer. And he prepared, look at it, in the process of time. Now, do you see the difference? Do you see the difference in their occupation? Does everyone in here, from young to old, understand that Abel, the sheep that he had, God just gave it to him. He didn't have anything to do with it. When a lamb was born, he had nothing to do with that lamb being born. He did not artificially inseminate. No, sir. It was born. A lamb was born. A miracle. When he first saw it, he thought, oh, isn't this wonderful? God, look, isn't the marvelous miracle of God's life? This lamb, beautiful lamb out of this sheep. But Cain now worked hard. Sweat equity. Blood. He mashed his hand. He cut his hand. He worked hard. And he had this garden. It was beautiful. I know it was beautiful. Virgin soil. Beautiful, black, deep, rich, humus. You'd grow anything in it. Oh, and he grew some turnips. Beautiful. And he got his, yet it took a long time to do it. And he was a hard-working man. And look at it, verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Cain thought, I'm gonna worship God. I'm going to worship God my way. Look at what all I've done. I'm going to give some of it to God. Surely He'll appreciate this. I've worked hard. And so he made him an altar. He had to have an altar. He'd heard that you have an altar and bring an offering to God and offer it up. And he made him a handmade little altar there, and he got him a big basket of turnips. And brought them and placed them on the altar. Now, he worked hard. He was a sincere, hardworking, honest farmer. And he brought these to God. He worked hard. Surely, God will accept that. Surely, God will appreciate what he's done. Cain's done for him. Surely God will be pleased. Surely Cain will go up in God's favor. Surely. Look at it. Verse 3. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought. What did he bring? The firstborn male lamb. First of the flock. The firstborn of a particular ewe lamb or ewe sheep, which had been a virgin and now had conceived and brought forth the firstborn male lamb. And he watched it for a few days and saw, this is perfect. This one is perfect. He's without spot. I can't find any fault in him whatsoever. He's without blemish. He's beautiful. The fat thereof. The fat, that tells me he cooked it, doesn't it? You got to kill it before you cook it. He slit its throat. You can infer all that from it. Abel took that little lamb and slit its throat. Poured out that blood. And put that body on a rock. He didn't make some elaborate altar. Just rocks that he found laying in the field. And put that body, that little lamb. Where'd he learn that? Polly, where'd he learn that? What'd he do that for? Blood. Dad said that God said blood.
Blood. I've been hearing it since I was a boy. Blood. Without the shedding of blood, Adam told both these boys. He told Cain and Abel time and time again. These weren't young boys. These were grown men. Cain and Abel. Grown men. They could have been 50 years old by this time. Grown men. And Adam had told them time and time again what happened in the garden. Oh, we rebelled against God. Rebelled against God. We're sinners through and through. You know why you boys think evil all the time? You know why you're quicker to lie than you are to tell the truth? You know why this sin rises up in you? Because you're born from me, your daddy. Didn't used to be this way, I was holy. But I sinned against God, and this thing called sin is in us now, and it's in every one of you, and it's in all of our descendants. We're sinners. God's holy. God kicked us out of the garden because God's holy. But God said you can have fellowship with me if you bring blood. We saw it. We saw it right there in the garden. We saw God kill that lamb. Kill a lamb. Because no, you know who that lamb is? That's the seed of a virgin-born son of a virgin who's going to come someday. God's son. He's going to be without sin. I don't know when he's coming. I don't know where he's going to appear. But he told us, he told your mother and I, that the seed of woman, some man's going to walk this earth, a holy man, without the sin of me in it, without the seed of Adam in it, a woman's seed, a virgin-born child, is going to be the very Son of God, God with us. And he's going to live a perfect life. And then God's going to take that seed, that son of his, and going to kill him like a lamb, like that lamb, that innocent lamb. God killed an innocent lamb to cover your mother and I, our nakedness, our guilt. God killed that. We got his skin, he got killed. And that's what God's going to do to the coming seed someday. And so he tells us from that day forward to bring a lamb as a type, as a picture. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without looking to that Christ who's going to come, there's no forgiveness of sin. God can't have anything to do with us unless we bring blood. Sons, do you understand that? Hey, do you understand that? Yes, sir. Yeah, I understand. Yes, sir. From a boy. You understand that, son? Yes, sir. What is it? Blood. What? Blood. Abel? Yes, sir. How do you come to God? Blood. Why? God's holy. Okay. Process of time. Here comes Cain. That blood. That sure is a mess. There's got to be a better way. He looked over there at Abel's offering. People, if we could see this. You ever been in a butcher shop? It's not a neat, clean... it's a gory mess. There's blood on the wall. There's blood on the floor. There's blood on the man who's killing them. There's blood everywhere. There's a piece of... There's a carcass hanging. Carcasses hanging all over the place. It's a bloody mess. It's not a pleasant place. Smells of blood. Blood smells, doesn't it? It has a certain smell in it, blood does. Why do you think man has such an affinity for blood? Why do you think when we see blood that it recoil at it? Why? Why do people get queasy when they see blood? Especially their own blood. Why do people go in shock when they see the blood? Blood. God said the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the soul, the life of the soul is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's too gory for man, you see. It's too gory. It's too bloody. It's too messy. Too old-fashioned. There's a new way. This is 21st century. Cain, just a few years later, thought that. This is, surely, there's got to be a better way.
All of you, I've heard it's blood, blood, blood. Well, I'm above that. Why was Cain a turnip farmer? Why did he raise turnips? You know the answer. You can't get blood out of a turnip. That's what Scott Richardson said. I believe you can't get blood out of a turnip.
You got to have blood. Well, now look at it. Verse 4. To Abel, he brought the first of the flock and the fat thereof. He killed this lamb and shed the blood, roasted its body on an altar. And it says the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. The Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. You see, you'll be accepted according to what you bring. As your offering is, so are you. Matter of fact, you'll be accepted by him that brings you. The offering will bring us. You are what you bring. You are what you bring. You'll be accepted or rejected by God according to how you approach God. Abel brought blood. A bowl of blood. And a smitten lamb. And said, God, will you accept me? God said yes. Every time. Every time. But now verse 5. Unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. What happened? What God said other than this? We don't know. If it was Christ standing there, I don't know. Somehow or another, God was speaking, though, wasn't he? What they saw, we don't know. But if they saw God, they saw an angry countenance. They didn't smile. They didn't see a smile. Well, when Abel brought that blood, he saw a merciful face, a kind face, a compassionate face. Good, well done. Accept it. That's what I told you to bring, and that's what you brought. Good. Son, you've done well. Cain brought all that. Oh, this is going to be good. What's all this about? Do you understand? Do you understand what this is all about? There's an old saying that sums up that all these. This sums up religion today. Listen to it. Okay, have you heard this before? Do you have it on your wall? Only one life, and soon will pass. And only what's done for Jesus will last. What do you think about that? Doesn't that sound sweet? God hates that. It's an absolute abomination. Nothing that any human being has ever done or ever will last. It's dirt. It's ground. Cain brought produce. He produced it. Anything we do, God said, it's going to pass. Get it out of my sight. He even called it filthy rags. I don't want anything to do with your works. Why? It's done by a sinner with an evil motive, with an impure motive, for gain, for reward, for pride. Don't you know Cain was proud of that? Huh? Don't you know that? Have we ever done a charitable work ever and not been proud of it? Have we ever done anything for anyone and we really didn't want anybody to find out about it? Ever given anything, done anything, anything? Have we ever done one completely unselfish, with no thought to our own glory or pride? Have we ever lived a moment on this earth when we weren't
proud, pleased with ourselves. You see, do you see what the works of man are? The wise man, what does he glory in? His wisdom. The strong man, what does he glory in? His strength. Where did he get it? The beautiful woman, what does she, where'd she get it? Anybody can do anything. Acts like they did it. When everything is a gift. But we can't do anything without being proud of ourselves. You see why God can't accept anything we do. You see that? Works of the flesh. That which is flesh. Proud flesh. But now what was this lamb? What was it? That's Christ. That's all that he'd done. That's all that he is. That robe, that's the righteousness of Christ. When a believer comes to God, he says, Christ is all my righteousness. I'm just an old rotten sinner. And if you can look upon me, it'll only be if you put me in Christ. It'll only be if you dress me in Christ's righteousness. It'll only be if you make me righteous. If you put on me His righteousness, and He takes my sins, and that's what the blood's all about. He died. Like that innocent lamb, the just, the unjust. That's how a sinner comes to God. You understand that? Does everybody understand that? Don't anybody leave this building without understanding that. That no human being can bring anything we do or say or think or feel to God and have God accept it. He won't do it. Only looking to Christ. Christ is Christ. Why should I let you in heaven? Why should I accept you? Christ. Accepted in the Beloved. God said it for all heaven and earth to hear. This is my Son, my Beloved Son. I'm well pleased. God never said that about any human being. I'm well pleased for His righteousness' sake, the psalm says. I'm well pleased for His righteousness' sake. Now, if you'll come to me by Him, the Lamb of God, through His skin and His blood, I'll accept you. Doesn't matter what you've done, who you are, male or female, black, white, rich, poor, doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you're doing right now. Come in the blood of that Lamb, and I'll receive you every time. Is that right? Yes, it is. I'm God. And that's what I said. Well, in my hands no price I bring. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I wholly lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood and His righteousness. Accept. Smile. God loves you. But now wait a minute. So it's two religions. You see, two religions. Christ, period. Exclamation point. Or, sky's the limit. This is what this is saying here. Look at chapter 4. Look at it here in verse 7. Cain was wroth and his countenance was fallen. That means, here seen somebody's fallen countenance? You will, if you talk to somebody about sovereign grace, you'll see a fallen countenance. If you talk to a self-righteous religious person who's been just a good person all their life and just real religious, and if you start talking about we're nothing but ungodly sinners in God's sight, He's too holy to accept anything we've done, and buddy, it's going to be by mercy. If God doesn't have mercy, we're worse than a harlot. You'll see a countenance. You'll see a fallen countenance. It's like all the blood drains out. And if it was the Old West, it'd kill you. That's what happened here. Why? God said it would in chapter 3. Remember? God said Satan's seed, followers, Satan's has a seed, he has a children. God has children. Not all human beings are sons of God. Sons of promise, Romans 9 said. But Satan has his children too. And it says there'll be enmity against the woman and against her seed. And their countenance will fall. In verse 7, God said, if you do well, thou shalt be accepted. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? What was doing well? What did Abel do to do well? Margaret, what did Abel do to do well and God accepted? He brought blood. He didn't do anything, really, did he? He just brought what God had already done. Believe. What must we do to do the works of God? They said. Christ said, believe on the Son of God. Believe that you're unrighteous, that He's righteous. Believe that nothing you can do, but that He must do it all. Believe that He is righteous, His righteousness must be yours, and your sin must be His. Believe, and thou shalt be accepted. And you'll do well, and God will accept you. Believe. That's the work of God. If you do well. But He said, if you don't. If you don't do well, if you don't believe, if you don't trust Christ alone, look at what He said. And see if I can make you understand it. Verse 7 says, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Do you know how many denominations there are in the United States? You're not going to believe it. It's over 3,000. You say, I don't know. No, wait a minute. Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic, Baptist. You got Christian scientists. You got scientists of the Christian scientists. You got sons of the Confederate scientists. You got Russellites. You keep going. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry's made up something. Every fellow who's a worthless, no good worker down at the mill, he becomes a preacher then, and he opens up a little storefront and says, I've got it. I've got it. The way. Everybody else out there looking for it, I've found it. Come to me. We'll call this Joe Bob Johnson's Memorial Church. The way of the road down the bush in the hollow church. I've got it. And there's thousands all over the land. What is it? It's the way it came. That's all it is. Call it what you want. Dress it up what you will. You got the high. You got the really, the robe, satin robes and mitres. And boy, we got it. Then you got the plain, ordinary, all black and the beards. No, we got it. And you got over here. No, it's not that. We got it. There's one way. Dress it up what you will, call it what you will, look like what you will. It's either Christ only, or it's the way it came. God will turn thumbs down. What could be plainer? What could be plainer? This is where it started, and now look at it. Sin. Huh. Men fall for everything. But Rebecca, that's what that means. Sin lies at the door. You'll fall for anything that comes to your door. You'll fall for it. You'll believe it. But now if you trust Christ, John, if you trust Christ, you won't believe anything else. If you come to see blood, you'll have great vision. If you hear the joyful sound, if you hear Jeanette, if you hear middle C, if you ever have your heart tuned to middle C, everything else will be out of key, won't it? Every song you hear, if it's not middle C, Christ, 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 you'll say, that ain't the gospel music. Every message you hear, if you don't hear Christ exalted, man in the dirt,
Christ's righteousness, man's sinfulness. If you don't hear that, you'll say, that ain't the gospel. If you hear of a God who tries and fails, you'll say, that ain't the God of the Bible. I don't dress it up in high-sounding words. You said, that's not it. Bring what you will. Now, it may sound real philosophical. No, that's works. Right, Henry? You'll dress it up. That's works. That's works. That's the way of Cain. Only one way it comes. But you understand? Does everybody understand? And my hands are free. I finally preached. And it says, Cain talked with his brother Abel. Verse 8, they talked together. What were they talking about? They were talking about this. Works and grace. Blood and man and Cain's rejection. One accepted, one rejected. And Abel, a loving son of God that he was, and a brother, a caring, compassionate brother that he was, he said, Cain, God showed me this. He showed it both to both of us. We both grew up hearing the same message. You heard it just like I did. I didn't do anything special. Only by the grace of God did I... Hey, you heard it too. It's blood. It's not what we bring. You knew better than that. It's only blood. It speaks of the seed. Dad told us all about that. The Christ, not our works. God, we're too sinful. God's too holy. You know that, Cain. Shut up. Abel turned his back. Beat his brains out. Why? Most battles have been fought over what? Religion. Religion. First one. First man was killed over the truth. And the second man, who was the truth, was killed. Christ himself. Well, I hope that's clear to you now. You see, God still saves everyone the same way. We still come to God the same way as in the beginning. Now, you hold steadfast the beginning of your conference. You hold that steadfast to the end. Don't let anybody tell you it's this way, that way. Don't let anybody impress you. There's better preachers, loftier. I listened to a local, I'll quit with it, I promise. I listened to one of these local fellows the other day. Picked up one of his tapes at the radio station. Never heard him before. He attracts a large group, a lot of people. And I went home. I thought, well, let me hear it. And I turned it on. And after about 35 minutes of professional music, and I mean professional. Jeanette, you sound like a beginner. I mean a full orchestra and just so beautiful. Touching. And this fellow, he came on. And boy, I sound like a hick from Kentucky compared to this fellow. I butcher the English language. I'm a vain babbler. This fellow was such an orator. And the first 5 minutes or so, he had me. This man can move his hearer. And he had me. I was impressed. Like, whoa. And he kept on. And on. That moving oration, and on. I thought, wait a minute. I'm not hearing something. This all sounds real good, but I'm not hearing something. It was out of tune. There's no gospel in it. I thought, I'm a fool. I was actually taken up with that. I said, that's garbage. I don't care how it sounds or what he cloaks it all in. It's garbage. Best thing to do is like Nehemiah said, let's get the garbage out of the way. And let's just kill us a lamb and worship. Do you see? Do you see? The knife didn't matter. The altar did. It's just blood. Just blood. Abel didn't matter. Blood. All right. Now let's sing a closing hymn.
I'll bring up the lamb and worship.
Let's stand.
235. Pass me not. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 4.